I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk.
Jammed!
Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Down by 30. Far side. Oh. Shot up by Doncic. He was falling down, falling away. Up and good, and a foul on Wiggins.
That kind of night for the Golden State Warriors. They were up 12-11, but then the Mavs went on a 28-0 run. The Warriors missed 18 consecutive shots. They didn't score for 9 minutes and 38 seconds, which is the longest scoring drought in about 11 and a half years in the NBA for anyone. They trailed 62-29 at halftime, were down as many as 43 in the second half, and wound up losing 133-103. So we welcome you inside Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. 10 games to go, Covey. This one was over in a blink, and you can close the book on the sixth seed. This was the biggest game of the year for the Warriors, and they were a complete and utter no-show.
Yeah, it was when you were going through the synopsis of the game tonight, it reminded me of those old NFL films voiceovers guy, you know, it said, thus ending the competitive phase of Super Bowl 24. I mean, that was it tonight, like the 28-0 run, thus ending the competitive phase of this particular basketball game. You could argue, JD, and I don't even think you'd have to argue very long and loud. This was the most important game in the history of the Chase Center, and the Dubs, they got ran up out tonight, and it was frustrating to watch. And I know we'll hear from Steve Kerr. The missed shots, that's bad. I mean, the offense got totally ISO ball centric. There was no ball movement. There was no movement off the ball. That was just a byproduct of their frustration. And you know, the game was spiraling out of control. The way that the Mavericks defended Steph and trapping him and throwing bodies at him. I mean, that was one thing. But it was the competitive effort defensively. I mean, how many open looks did the Mavs have tonight? And you give a team like Dallas open looks, and you know they started to get rolling. I mean, you could see this thing spiraling out of control. It was if it was a fight, JD, they would have stopped it.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll keep it rolling here till about 10:15, 10:20 or so, as the Warriors lose tonight to the Mavs, 133-103. So 31-31. The Warriors now 3.5 back of Dallas, 4 in the loss column for the sixth seed. That's done. 10 games to go. The Warriors do not have the tiebreaker. You got to make up 5 games in the last 10. So that's done. Period, point blank, end of story. The Warriors are going to be a play-in tournament team. The Warriors also lost ground tonight, a full game on Portland. Portland went into Indiana and blew out the Pacers tonight to get a little bit back on track. They had been struggling. So the Warriors are now 2.5 back of seventh. They lose a half game on the Grizzlies and Spurs, who were idle tonight. So the Warriors now a game back of both San Antonio and Memphis. Memphis currently the tiebreaker over San Antonio. So the Warriors sitting in 10th. Now, they're comfortably in 10th at this point, but they're still in 10th. So 10 games to go. And look, now the schedule gets easier. You go to Minnesota, although Minnesota's playing much better basketball under Chris Finch than they were earlier in the year when the Warriors were able to beat them with Ryan Saunders at the helm. So you get a grip and you try to move forward on this road trip, and you know you got the six games in hand in the back pocket, and you try to get win as many as you can and see where it leaves you as far as the play-in tournament goes. As far as this game tonight for me, my big takeaway and the most galling and frustrating aspect of this game for me was it was almost as if the Warriors just expected that the game was going to be as loosely played as the first two games were between these two teams. Like, to me, the Warriors came out as if they thought it was just going to be a light run in early February, and Dallas was going to get what they wanted on offense, and the Warriors are going to get what they wanted on offense, and it was going to be 120 to 120 with about 6 minutes left, and then they were going to figure out whether Steph was going to get the better of Luka or whether Luka was going to get the better of Steph. Maybe you make a couple of plays. And Dallas said, Dallas treated this like it was a playoff game. The Warriors treated it like it was going to be one of those defensive, you know, defense optional kind of open gym games that they've had a lot of and been able to win a lot of at different points, and won one of them against this Mavs team. To kind of have that look like the attitude the Warriors brought into this is, that's the most disappointing part for me.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, JD. There was a level of intent and a level of determination from the Dallas Mavericks from the opening tip tonight, and it was apparent. They showed up like a team pissed off that they lost to the freaking Kings last night, didn't play their best ball. You know, they don't have Chris Stapps, but, you know, they got a couple of guys back in the lineup that they thought maybe they weren't going to have, and they knew, hey, look, we want to solidify our standing, stake our claim to the sixth seed, win the season series against the Dubs, hold them under thumb in the process, maybe enhance Luka's MVP candidacy, which, you know, a lot of chatter about Steph Curry lately, and rightfully so, I want to say off top. But whatever it was that, you know, that the Dallas Mavericks brought tonight from the opening tip, I mean, it was pretty clear to me. One team showed up intent on playing 48 minutes, and I think you nailed it, JD. The other team kind of thought, yeah, we'll go back and forth for a while, and then, you know, we'll talk to you in the fourth quarter. And I didn't think in the pregame that the Warriors could get blown out in this game. I just thought it meant too much to them. They've been playing too good a team basketball lately, and I figured the Mavericks wouldn't be as committed on the second end of a back-to-back defensively. They wouldn't be able to do enough to slow the Warriors down. I mean, I was dead-ass wrong on all fronts. This was the no-show of no-shows for the Golden State Warriors. To me, this is, I guess, Toronto's the worst loss of the year, like number-wise, but this is the worst loss of the year when you consider what was at stake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was ugly, and the Warriors just looked like they didn't expect Dallas to defend them tonight. Like, they didn't, like, and almost like they were stunned, because Dallas did, to give them credit, come out and they were extremely focused defensively. Like, they had a game plan and they were playing hard. And I made the comment to a couple of people tonight, just kind of chit chatting via text. Like, I can't remember the last time the Dallas Mavericks looked this intent on playing defense in any game that I've watched them play. I know they've been better the last couple of months, really since that stretch where the Warriors played them a couple of times in Dallas and the games got into the 130s and the 140s and on back to back occasions. They've picked it up since then, but it was almost as if the Warriors just weren't ready for the Mavs to have a buttoned up, well-intended defensive effort, and then when it was there and the shots weren't falling and the passes weren't hitting, they just kind of packed it in as Dallas got hot, and this thing turned into, you know, what it turned into, a 28-0 Mavericks run. From 12-11 Warriors, it moved to 39-12 Dallas, 9 minutes and 38 seconds without a make, and it wound up a 35-5 run. It was ugly, 62-39 at halftime. Worst quarter, the first quarter for the Warriors this year. Worst half for the Warriors this year. And then the Warriors came out and gave up 41 in the third to boot. So if the first half wasn't bad enough, they gave up 41 in the third. And then it was just, I mean, the game had long been decided. But I'm with you, man. I mean, this one leaves me a little bit stymied and honestly a little bit feeling foolish that I opened the door to the fact that this team maybe had a shot if they won tonight to get the sixth seed.
Yeah, it's funny. It's, you know, you look back to, you know, doing the pregame with Jim, and I even said to Jim Barnett, I expect the Golden State Warriors to win this game. The point spread favored the Golden State Warriors. They've been good at home. Mavericks just lost in Sacramento last night, and, you know, Dallas is one of those enigma teams. It's, you know, what kind of effort? They've got the talent, right? You know, we saw they've got the scores when they need to, even without Kristaps. They can do enough offensively to get going, and my biggest point of contention why I thought Dallas was an imposter, because we've talked a lot about this team this year, JD, why I thought they were an imposter in the West was because they didn't play any defense. And, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, probably about a month and a half ago, Dallas kind of flipped that switch. Really at the start of March, I really feel like Dallas kind of flipped the switch and realized, uh-oh, time's slipping away here. We're a more talented outfit than this. We're underachieving. We go out there and we just try and score 130 every night. And, you know, that's fine and dandy when you're hitting your threes and, you know, Luka's putting up these gaudy stat lines and guys are, you know, kind of falling in line too and, you know, behind them. But when teams don't defend and then they don't hit their shots, they can get rolled. And Dallas had a number of bad losses like that early in the year. And so they've really flipped the switch. And I felt like tonight, Dallas looked at this as exactly what it was. This was a test game for them. This was a barometer game for them. Like, hey, are you really going to let the Golden State Warriors get back into this conversation and have your grasp on that sixth seed questioned? Or are you going to go out there and put your foot on their throat from the opening tip and put the boots to this team in their own house? And they did that. And, you know, the Warriors just didn't match the intensity. Now, I know the Warriors, hey, look, we got to be mindful of the other side of this. Warriors are playing really shorthanded right now. They haven't had a lot of practice time. You know, they've just been playing a ton of basketball, and they've been playing really good basketball of late. Eventually, it will catch up to you. Short rotation, a lot of games, a lot of high-pressure games, a lot of close games. Like, the Warriors have been playing a lot of high-level basketball and a lot of, you know, I guess, high-energy-expending basketball the last couple of weeks. And it all kind of caught up to them tonight. And unfortunately, you know, in a game in Minnesota a couple nights from now that, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it looked like, oh, yeah, the Warriors will roll into Minnesota and smoke them. Not so fast. Like, if they bring this kind of effort tonight, if they bring this effort a couple nights from now in Minnesota that they brought tonight, the Timberwolves will do the same thing to the Golden State Warriors.
Well, and I'm going to, you know, the interesting thing about, because you mentioned, you know, haven't practiced, and that was actually a topic that came up in Steve Kerr's pregame Zoom session, because the Warriors clearly looked like a team that hadn't practiced in a week, and it had been working for them. You know, Steve Kerr, they come off the five-game road trip, and, you know, they get back late, obviously, Wednesday. They have the off day Thursday before they begin the homestand against Denver. So they don't practice on Thursday. They didn't have a shoot-around on Friday. They had a little walkthrough in the afternoon on Friday before the game. They don't practice Saturday. They do the same thing Sunday. No shoot-around Sunday for a 7 o'clock game. Have a little walkthrough, you know, basically in the late afternoon. And then nothing yesterday, and they did the same thing today. You know, this is one of those things that, you know, Steve Kerr said, and I'm quoting, you know, Connor Letourneau quoting Steve from the pregame session. Steve Kerr said, this season has been extremely draining. It just felt like the right decision. We'll see how long we do it. Tonight's the kind of thing where, like, it had worked. Steve Kerr had explained the reasoning. But I feel like when you come out and it's the biggest game of the year and you play like that, even though it had worked before, I feel like that's going to be one of those decisions again now that is going to be kind of focused in on the next couple of days. Like, well, wait a minute. What, you haven't practiced in a week? Why the hell haven't [S2] Right. [S1] You practiced in a week? And, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily right or wrong, but it's something that definitely needs to be brought up on a night like tonight when the Warriors look like a team that hadn't practiced in a week. And frankly, they look like a team that hadn't practiced in a week against Sacramento on Sunday as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great call, JD. And I know Kerr's trying to find that balancing act, right? I mean, he knows this team is shorthanded. They're missing a bunch of players. He knows that he's had to lean on Steph and Draymond and Looney, like those three guys in particular, and Wiggins too, for that matter, who's played a ton of basketball, hasn't missed a game all year. Like, at some point, fatigue's going to catch in. So, you know, you're trying to find that balance between giving these guys rest and making sure that they stay sharp. And, hey, if you're winning, it's a lot easier to justify, well, let's keep rolling with this. Like, let's let them keep resting. And, you know, these games are coming every other day. And, you know, if, uh, you know, if, if they need some rest, like, you know, it would almost seem that that's more beneficial at this time of year, making sure that Steph Curry can get a breather as opposed to making sure Steph Curry's getting time, getting up shots in the gym. These guys have been getting plenty of game time, but, you know, in a game like tonight, especially after coming off the Sacramento game the other night, where, let's face it, the Warriors, they were lucky to get out of Chase Center with the dub in that game. So, you know, I think if you kind of look at where they were at after that game, yeah, you won, but you didn't play anywhere near your best basketball. So I think, you know, while A, that can, like, get a team's attention and be like, whoa, we were lucky to get out with the win tonight. We need to be a lot better against Dallas a couple of nights. And I think that was kind of the general feeling that we thought that they would do tonight. But in reality, it was they looked a little disjointed, a little tired, and certainly not up for what Dallas was bringing to the table tonight. So I think, you know, maybe a practice yesterday or, you know, over the weekend probably would have served them well. But, you know, I understand why Steve Kerr played it that way. But when you get beaten the manner that they did tonight, you leave yourself prone to be second-guessed.
Yeah, and traditionally, you know, coming back from a long trip, you wouldn't practice, obviously, that day. You'd probably have, under normal circumstances, a shoot-around on the day of the Denver game. I even understand not doing that, you know, because you're coming off the long trip and all the different times that players have to be tested. But to me, you come off of that game, and, you know, maybe you give them Saturday off, but at that point, to me, it would be a little bit more business as usual. Maybe a shoot-around Sunday to get ready for that Sac game, so you have an attempt to overcome maybe a little bit of the Sunday drearies that were going on. And then to me, you get everybody together yesterday and try to have some semblance, even if it's a light practice, some semblance of a practice at that point. But again, I wasn't questioning it in front of it, so I'm not really being too critical of it, but I do think it's something that should absolutely be pointed out when the Warriors have not just one, but two pretty flat performances consecutively. Let's get to Eric and Milbrae. Eric, you're up here on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, fellas? Yeah, man,
hello, brother.
That was a stunner tonight. Nobody expected that. Inexcusable loss. I don't want to hear about anything. You're playing a struggling Dallas team who just came off to loss to one of the worst teams in the league in Sacramento last night. They're missing their second best player, Porzingis. Saw Porzingis, who's hurt as usual, and Richardson, two of their top probably four players are out. And you got them at home where the Warriors are money. They won four in a row. They normally play well, and they normally play Dallas well. So I expected this to be a win tonight. And not only was it not a win, it was an absolute biblical beatdown by Dallas. And going 9 minutes, you're not playing a defensive stalwart in this Mavericks team. So just all around debacle. I didn't expect this at all. I thought this would be a win. At least they'd be competitive, I thought, the Mavs, but I thought the Warriors ultimately closed this out. So now we can kiss the sixth seed goodbye. I think the best they can do is seventh. I still feel good with their promising schedule, barring any more unforeseen debacles like tonight. I think that you get a get-right game against the T-Wolves on Thursday night, and I think from there you got the six home games, which I think they're going to regroup and refocus and get this right. So I think this is going to be a one-off, I hope, anyway, or they're not even going to be. They're going to be the 10th seed in the playoff. They're going to be knocked out. So I don't expect this to go on. I think they're going to refocus in starting Thursday night. They're going to get back group, and I think they're going to end up in the 7th seed. So this better be a one-off, though, fellas. Can't happen again. Thanks for the time.
888-957-9570. Don't sell Minnesota necessarily as a get well game. They just beat Utah a couple of times and won tonight in Houston. They're playing much better basketball with Chris Finch as the head coach there. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr, the full Steve Kerr presser, which basically tonight was the length of a soundbite. But we're going to play it for you as he tried to figure out and make some sense of what happened tonight as the Warriors get blown out, trailing 36-12 at the end of the first quarter. It winds up 133-103 in favor of the Mavs. All of that, your phone calls as well at 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up, JD and Covey continuing here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Finney Smith with it. Doncic with 5 seconds. Wiggins run off the screen. Doncic dribble drive goes all the way down the lane, takes a five-footer and scores at the buzzer. And that is how this half ends. Pretty sure that might be the worst half of the season.
No, by miles.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Tim and Tom all over that one, Covey. Worst half by miles, I would say, tonight. 62-29 at the break. Again, the 28-0 run that spanned the end of the first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter. I've mentioned this a couple of times. It is the second longest scoring run by any team over the last 20 seasons, and the longest since the Knicks 28-0 run on November 22nd of 2017. That's a staggering note tonight. The other staggering note is the 9-minute and 38-second scoring drought is the longest in a game since December of 2009. December of 2009, so about almost 11 and a half years, the Bucks went 11 minutes and 25 seconds without scoring against the Cavs. So a historic yuck kind of a night for the Warriors.
Yeah, and, you know, as historically putrid as this is, JD, and as frustrating as it is and disappointing because of what you had an opportunity to do, just counts as one loss. And, you know, that's how the Warriors have to look at this. Take it on the chin. Use this as motivation in Minnesota a couple of nights from now. You still have everything to play for, except for the sixth seed. So, look, I think based on the season that the Warriors have put together this year, JD, you know, a lot of the high, you know, good moments, good wins, but also a lot of disappointing losses. And, you know, hence them being here at the 500 mark, 62 games into the season, probably don't deserve to be in the conversation for the sixth seed, if we're being honest. So this is about where they're deserving to be at this point in the season, and so we'll see what they can put together here for this last stretch and hopefully maybe move in to that 7 or 8 spot, which still is a huge benefit in that play-in tournament scenario. What did you think of the stretch, JD, and just how Dallas was getting off? Because, you know, they threw a ton of bodies at Steph, and, you know, they were trapping him just when he would get over center court, and I just felt like there was a lot of standing around watching Steph be in trouble, and then maybe he'd give it up to Draymond, but it just, everything was discombobulated, but it was a lot of standing around, and then once Dallas got rolling, I felt like it was a lot of, well, let's, maybe this will go in, but it probably won't, and then maybe I'll get back on defense, but I probably won't. I mean, it was about as lethargic on both ends of the floor as I could ever remember seeing, except for maybe that Toronto game, but that was understandable because they didn't have Steph or Draymond.
Yeah, they looked unprepared, frankly. I mean, to me, the way they were on offense, to me, defense was more of an effort thing. I think Dallas hit some shots early, and then I think it was more of an effort thing altogether. But I think as far as the offensive performance, one, and I said this in the first segment, I think they were kind of stunned at, like, oh my God, Dallas is bringing the heat defensively. Like, and I think they also looked like a team that, frankly, hadn't gone over real effectively how they wanted to attack. Like, they look surprised. They look like a team that hadn't, you know, in the NFL, like, they look like a team that, you know, team starts blitzing them, you know, in the NFL vernacular, and you look like you hadn't prepared or practiced, you know, like this team's block of the blitz during your week of practice. I mean, that to me is what it looked like, and it led to some kind of lackadaisical, unsure plays. The Warriors weren't making shots when they got shots, and you know the whole thing just kind of snowballed and turned into the 28-0 run. So I think you know, and then you know Dallas is hot, and you get down, and yeah, the defensive effort was pretty poor though. Nonetheless, I mean, this would have been one of those games at its best if the Warriors had played well offensively that had been 120-120 with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's straight up, you chalk it up to you didn't match Dallas's intensity. I thought Draymond had one of his poorer performances of the night, I mean, of the season. The turnovers. Andrew Wiggins just looked gassed, and Luka just wore him out tonight. I mean, Luka was just incredible. He got plenty of help from the supporting cast, but, you know, that was Luka doing a bunch of Luka stuff tonight. And Oubre was pretty awful tonight as well. I mean, Draymond, Wiggins, and Oubre, your best three defenders, all collectively played horrible tonight defensively.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson, Ryan Covey. Warriors wrap up a 95-7 the game. Mavs beat the Warriors 133-103, so the Warriors now 31-31. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, after this one. We're going to play the full Steve Kerr press conference tonight. It's less than 2 minutes. I believe there were three questions. Steve Kerr was not happy, to say the least.
Hey, Steve, in the first quarter and then into the second quarter, your guys had a scoring drought of about 9 minutes. What is that feeling when you're getting shots, but nothing is going in?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not that concerned about a 9 minute scoring drought. I'm concerned about defense. I'm concerned about a level of intensity and preparation and competitiveness. That's what was missing. And I'm the head coach. So, you know, I did not have them ready to play, clearly, you know, biggest game of the year. And it was over before it started. So really, really disappointing. But we've got a young team. I think of the guys who are out there tonight, I think we only have three guys who've been in the playoffs. Tonight was kind of like a playoff game for Dallas. You know, they lost last night. They know we were right on their heels. They came out like it was a playoff game, and we came out like it was an exhibition game. Very disappointing.
I mean, you guys are obviously still 31-31, right in the thick of the play-in bracket, but you've had a lot of blowout losses this season. Why do you think it is that it seems like when you guys have a bad performance, it's like a really bad performance?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we were done with those, Anthony. I thought those were a case of just being early in the year, not ready, you know, for the competition that we were facing, you know, playing some different combinations, that kind of stuff. I thought we were beyond that, but obviously, you know, we took another one on the chin tonight. So, like I said, just really disappointing. I'm disappointed in myself for not having them better prepared. I'm disappointed in the way we just didn't meet the challenge as a group. It's a shame, but we've got 10 games left and we've got a lot to play for. We will be better prepared next game. I know that.
All right. So that's it from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. Short and sweet. Intensity, preparation, competitiveness, biggest game of the year. It was over before it started. The one thing that I do take a little bit of exception to, and I think you probably know where I'm going, Steph Curry, 11 years coming into this year. Draymond Green, 8 years coming into this year. Even Andrew Wiggins, 6 years in the league. Kelly Oubre Jr., 5 years in the league. I know Oubre and Wiggins, by their age, can be considered young. I know Juan Toscano-Henderson's actually a little bit older, even though his experience level isn't as great. Michael Mulder hasn't played a lot. Jordan Poole's in his second year. I don't really think this is that young of a team, to be perfectly honest. And not to the point where you can say, hey, that's why we came out and weren't ready and got rolled. I mean, Draymond Green's been to 5 NBA Finals and won 3 championships. Steph has been having the same. It's just that doesn't fly with me, the young team aspect. Man, you got a bunch of vets. You got four, Looney as well. Like, just I spare me that one.
Yeah, miss me with that too, JD. You're right, man. And I think when he talks about it as a young team, like, it's they don't have a ton of experience together, right? Like this group, outside of the obvious. I mean, Steph and Draymond, they've got a ton of miles together. But, you know, this group was kind of thrown together. And you know, this season has been, a process of them all kind of figuring it out. And then there's been injuries along the way, lineup changes, shifts in focus, the Wiseman factor. Now he's gone. Like, and I'm not making an excuse. I'm just trying to understand, where Steve Kerr's coming from with this. And I agree. And, I like that Anthony Slater asked that question because, I mean, look, there have been some blowouts. A lot of them, though, were when Steph wasn't in the lineup. I mean, there have been a few games with Steph in there. Obviously, a couple early in the year, we can just kind of, forget about those. There was the game in Phoenix earlier this year where they got blown with Steph in there. I mean, they've had a few, but this was the first time that the Warriors got blown out at home in what I considered a really important game, right? I mean, early in the year, you're playing good competition. Like, we all kind of penciled in a requisite number of losses for the Warriors when you do that's a win, that's probably a win, that's probably a loss. Like, those blowouts against good teams, okay, fine. But Dallas, they haven't exactly been the picture of consistency this year, and especially of late. I mean, they lost to the Kings last night. So it's one thing to lose this game. It's another thing to get the brakes beaten off of you and basically get humiliated. And that's what happened tonight. And you're right. Ain't no young team about it. You got NBA hardware all over the place. And regardless, this team should have been better prepared to play this game. It's on Kerr. It's on the team. Nothing you can do about it now except learn from it. But also miss me with the burn the tape, too. Nah. Watch this tape. Learn from this tape. Like, feel it. And then go out and take it out on the Timberwolves a couple of nights from now.
Well, and I wonder what the change is going to be perfectly honest, as far as getting the team more prepared, because now they're going on a four-game road trip, and they're going to fly to Minnesota tomorrow and then take on the Timberwolves on Thursday. And so you're not going to have a practice tomorrow, right, because you're going to fly to Minnesota. So you're going to have a shoot-around, I guess. You'll get to Minnesota, have a shoot-around on Thursday, and that'll be how you kick it in gear and make sure that the team's more prepared, I guess. I mean, I know in the past the Warriors would fly. I know it's all different because of the COVID protocols. Typically, if they wanted to have a practice tomorrow, maybe they would fly and then practice after they land. I know the Warriors were able to do that a lot at different points, but that's essentially off the table this year due to the COVID health and safety protocols and getting everybody together in that manner. So I wonder what can change, because you play Minnesota and then you're going to Houston. You got one day in between, then you're going to New Orleans, and then you're playing a back-to-back. So now they're coming fast and furious. As far as the blowouts go, and Anthony Slater asked the question. Anthony Slater also put out the tweet. He listed them, so I'm just going to quote his tweet here. 53, 39, 31, 30, 26, 26, 26, 25, 22, 22, 21, some of the Warriors' blowout losses this year. They also have a couple this year that stood out to me that were under 20 in terms of the final margin in Utah when they got down 14-0, and I think they were down 30 at halftime in Utah and Salt Lake City back maybe January the 23rd, I believe that was. And then the game on February the 13th at Chase Center, I think they lost by 17 to the Nets, and that game was blowout city. I mean, they were down by as many as 28 or 30 in that game in Kevin Durant's return. So there have been some games where it's been a little bit more cosmetically acceptable that they have actually gotten, really, 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 really beat down. And so that's not a pretty list. And I know some of them are without Steph, and that's its own story, but that's still – when it's been bad for this team, it's tended to be really, really bad or really, really heartbreaking in terms of feeling like they let one slip away that they shouldn't have let slip away.
Yeah, and you're right, in the interest of telling the whole story, the Warriors have also got quite a few blowout wins on the year too, right? I mean, they just touched up the Nuggets the other day, OKC, Cleveland. You go back a little earlier in the year. They've had some big wins this year where they've beaten the brakes off some teams too. San Antonio a couple times when they played Dallas, they got them good. It does. Sacramento, they blew them out a few times. So they've or at least one time for sure. I get it. They've definitely had more blowout losses, but that's the thing. I mean, this is kind of who the Warriors are, right? I mean, they're a 500 basketball team, and they deserve to be exactly where they are right now. And the only thing that I can say is there was some, you know, there's been a handful of games. The blowouts aside, like they were, for me coming into this year, there was always going to be a certain number of games that this team was just, they weren't going to be particularly competitive. They were going to get smoked. It was going to be where the difference was going to lie for this team was going to be in those close games. How you play in close games and how you play against lower tier opposition. Now, the good news is, they've beaten the lower end teams for the most part. They've won a lot of games at home. They've been a good home team. So those are the two things that they can hang their hat on. And the reason why they're not four games, five games over 500 right now is because they had a bunch of winnable games that they just kind of let slip away there at the end. So, you know, the blowouts kind of when you're, you know, at the level the Warriors are right now from a talent standpoint, from a depth standpoint, it's going to happen. Like the Western Conference is deep. There's a lot of good teams out there. It's frustrating, though, that it comes at a time like this where you had been playing some of your best basketball. It's a game at home, maybe the biggest home game in the Chase Center's history, and you got eviscerated by the Mavericks, who have been, you know, I would say, an inconsistent at best team this year.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. It's Warriors wrap-up with JD and Covey. About another 10, 12 minutes or so here on a Tuesday night as the Mavs beat the Warriors 133-103. Warriors now 31-31. We'll hear from Stephen Curry here momentarily after this one. Warriors, you mentioned it. I wanted to make sure we gave the number. The Warriors now 12-23. Against teams that are 500 and above. So 12-23 against those teams, 19-8 against teams that are below 500. So they have held their own against the sub-500 teams to that tune of 19-8. Another game where the Warriors lose when they cannot get to the 110 mark. This one, I guess, it shouldn't be surprised. It's kind of like the four runs or less thing in baseball, right? Like most teams' record are not good when it's under four runs. But 110 is that mark for the Warriors. When they can't get to 110, they are 3-24 on the season. And 28-7 when they are able to score over 110 points. So that has clearly been the barometer for the Dubs this season. Let's get to our who's hot and who's not as well, which is sponsored by Exergen, because accuracy matters. This is the appropriate moment, I think, to give Michael Mulder a nod.
Yep.
31 minutes tonight, 10 of 16 shooting, 6 of 11 from three-point range. A nice night for Michael Mulder in that starting lineup. Stephen Curry had his 27 as well, but I think this is the appropriate manner to give Michael Mulder. You know, doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, but it's got to be nice for him. He's a pretty skilled and talented offensive player.
Yeah, and look, right now with the rotation being where it's at, and the lack of options at Steve Kerr's disposal that he can rely on to play, meaningful minutes, large segments of games. Look, Mulder, that's a nice win for him tonight. So yeah, good stuff for Michael Mulder. I got some who's nots. Kelly Oubre tonight minus 41, and was 2 of 10, 2 of 7 from 3-point range. Not so hot
Wiggins.
There. Andrew Wiggins looking real fatigued. Didn't hit a three tonight. Was a minus 35. Only hit 3 buckets tonight. Draymond Green, 6 turnovers tonight. He had a turnover to assist ratio tonight, a 2-to-1 turnover to assist ratio. Not so good with only 3 dimes for Draymond tonight and was a minus 18. So plenty of those to go around. And I thought Jordan Poole, there was times tonight, JD, like when, I know Kerr went real small, in the first quarter, they're trying to unlock anything. He had GP2 out there with Poole. I mean, JTA was playing the 5 with Oubre playing the 4. I mean, he was just trying to get anything going. There were some periods during that stretch where I thought Jordan Poole just looked really confused. He's just basically standing there dribbling, trying to beat a guy off the dribble. Nobody's moving. And all of a sudden you look up, there's 3 seconds left on the shot clock. And you're like, that's what happens when you don't move the basketball. So I thought Jordan Poole tonight, it was a troubling sign for Poole. And as you said many times, if Poole ain't scoring, it don't look good.
Yeah, and tonight was definitely a rough night for Jordan Poole. And look, you take the good with the bad, and I think he's had some real good games. But that's the thing that I focus on. And you know what? The other part of tonight too, for me is, as much as Dallas has been kind of a middle of the pack defensive team overall, brutal for long stretches, and a lot better, like you said, for the last month and a half or so. But for me, the one thing you know you're going to get from Dallas in a big game, in a game that they deem important, is you're going to get a well-coached game. And I do think there are some things that are tells as far as a game like tonight with respect to an excellent head coach who's got a championship pedigree in his own right and his ability to, hey, this is a big game. I'm coming up with a game plan and a way that we're going to play against this team to make sure that we put ourselves in the best position to win this game. And I look at that in terms of the way they defended Curry, the way they put pressure on other players for the Warriors and put them in uncomfortable positions. And I also kind of, you know, Jordan Poole for me is a little bit a part of that too, because I think tonight, if tonight felt like a playoff game and the Mavs treated it that way and Steve Kerr said as much, and you know Rick Carlisle thought they really had to get this one, it felt like there was a playoff level game plan on the other side. So when I look at Poole 3-for-14, I kind of think I look at Wiggins 3-for-11. I look at a guy like Oubre 2-for-10. That's, you know, when people start to say this team's a problem in the playoffs, I wonder how much of a problem, because tonight is sort of the template. Not talking about competitiveness or anything like that, but tonight's the template for what a really well-coached team with some playoff experience, at least on that front, is going to try and put at you in a playoff series. And so, you know, tonight was kind of one of those that I am going to file away for if this team does later find, you know, wind up playing somebody in a best of seven.
You're on your game tonight, JD. That's it, man. I mean, it straight up. They got game planned tonight. The Warriors got out-schemed, and it is troubling. Now, you know, look, if the Warriors were intent on moving the ball a little bit more, moving off the ball a little bit more, and matching that intensity, then I think, you know, that I could still see them, you know, being plenty successful in a playoff series. And look, if the Warriors are going to play a seven-game playoff series, it's going to be against a higher seed. A couple of those games, they're going to get spanked, right? It's going to be, if they are going to make it a series, because it'll be kind of similar to what we saw tonight. If they are going to make it a series against a Utah or a Phoenix or a Clippers, it's going to be in those couple of games that are close, hopefully the ones at the Chase Center. But, you know, the Dubs could even push a team on the road when they're on their night. You're going to have to win those games in order to make it a series, because you're right. I mean, there's going to be, you know, in a playoff series, there might be a game or two where the Warriors just get touched up. Now, hopefully it doesn't happen straight away in a playoff series to where they're already DOA and it doesn't really matter and they kind of pack it in. But I think that point's well taken, man. And, you know, you have to match what the opposition's bringing to the table. And here's the other thing, too. I felt like they were wearing this run tonight. Like when Dallas got going, and I get it, it's part of the deal, you know, but that you could tell, like, they were like, well, we just don't got it. Let's and they just kind of packed it in. And I'm sorry, like, if it's a playoff game, it's in the first quarter, man. Like, there's still time. But, you know, down 18 in the first quarter, the game's not over. Down 32 in the middle of the second quarter, yeah, it's over at that point. And that was what was really disappointing to me. When it looked like it was slipping away, they kind of seemed content to let it slip away. And that's a problem.
That's a big problem. And I'll sort of tie that part of the conversation off in this fashion. The three players that I would worry about the most in a playoff series for the Warriors are Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre Jr., and Jordan Poole, among the players that are going to be playing in, you know, a lot of minutes. Like, I'm not worried about Steph. I'm not worried about Draymond. I'm not worried about Looney, right? But it's Wiggins. You know, how's he going to look when he gets schemed up at a playoff level? Oubre, how's it going to look when he, you know, teams make him do some things on their terms? And Jordan Poole, obviously, with the inexperience. I mean, he's the one guy that can, you know, claim inexperience, or Steve Kerr can claim inexperience for him, absolutely. But, you know, I wonder how it's going to look when teams are physical with him and show him different looks and he has to adjust. And look, it'd be a great learning experience for him regardless if he gets an opportunity to do it. But I think, you know, I'm just saying, those are the three guys that I would, you know, okay, what's that going to look like when they kind of get pushed around a little bit and it's you know, time for the grown-ups to play, so to speak.
Yeah, no, you're right. And look, Andrew Wiggins, I think he's got 5-6 playoff games in his career, you know, in 1 year in Minnesota when they made it and got bounced in the first round. I know Oubre had a couple of years in the playoffs with the Wizards, but I think he's got one career playoff start, maybe 9 playoff games in total, something like that. So not a lot of experience is there. And that's why I think, JD, because there will be those growing pains and those, you know, those hard nights out. I feel like for these guys, I feel like that's almost imminent. But that's why I think it's so important for this team to go through that process this year so they can get a taste. And like you said, they can get that experience. Because what you don't want it to be is, okay, this team navigates through next season. You know, you got Clay back, and you know, you close out some of these games. Let's say the Warriors are the sixth seed next year, the fifth seed in the West, and it's okay. Well, now it's time to go play a playoff series against Denver or Utah, and all of a sudden it's you got a wide-eyed Jordan Poole out there, and you know, Andrew Wiggins, who's kind of, you know, trying to fight through being actually schemed and, you know, trying to work through some of the extra pressures and the intensities of a playoff series. At least to have that experience this year where, you know, if you don't get it done, nobody's going to lose their mind. I think that's why it's so important for next year, where the expectations are going to be so much higher and the pressure is going to be that much more on this basketball team, because they're going to be, you know, at their level of full strength.
Let's hear a little bit of Stephen Curry before we call it a night here. We wrap up, Warriors wrap up, Mavs win it 133-103. A couple of Steph Curry cuts. Let's hear from Steph first on how much this 30-point defeat stings.
It's just things getting blown out. I mean, we know the context of the season where we're at. And like I said last time or two nights ago when I was up here, it was the biggest game because it was the one that was next, and trying to stay in the moment. Dropped the ball, didn't play well, got blown out. Didn't really have any life in the first quarter. It's a tough one. You know, obviously want to play better. Obviously want to be in a situation where you're, you know, competitive and rising to the level of competition, and we didn't do it.
No, definitely did not do it. Let's also hear from Steph. He's asked if there's anything he can pinpoint as far as the lack of effort tonight.
No, if I might have been able to say something earlier in the game to try to course correct, but they you got to give them credit. They played well. They played with a level of assertiveness and aggressiveness and physicality, and they had a certain game plan to defend us, and it worked. So we have to make adjustments if teams want to try to do that again, and we have to be able to play, you know, better, more aggressive, focused defense to start games. So we're a top 10 ranked defense for a reason. And most nights you can rely on that to weather the storm a little bit. If offensively you're not getting it going, you know, it was a perfect storm of everything going wrong tonight.
Tonight is a give the Mavericks credit game to a certain extent. But I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this. Are you more upset with, we heard from Steve Kerr, does the offense or the defense bother you more tonight?
The defense. The defense certainly bothers me more, because that's where the Mavericks set the tone, right? You know, teams are going to go through stretches during games where you make, you know, you get hot, you're making shots, or, you know, you go through a bit of a cold spell, but you needed to match Dallas's intensity. And that, you know, that's like when you talk about what a playoff game is all about, right? We always talk about in the NBA, on the regular season, a lot of these games kind of defense optional. You get to the playoffs, it's not like that. Every possession is contested. That was what Dallas was doing tonight, and the Warriors didn't match it. That's where, you know, Steph Curry, okay? That I didn't really like that response, though, if I'm being honest. You know, giving Dallas credit. You give Dallas credit if they beat you with a good fourth quarter, or, you know, with a good stretch at one point in this game. Like, where's the accountability? And again, it's one game, so I'm not trying to lose my mind here. But how about the fact that you got to say, yo, we no-showed. And, yeah, Dallas played great, but Dallas could have brought their C game and beat us the way that we showed up tonight. Unfortunately for them, it was the perfect storm, because the Warriors brought their F-minus game and Dallas brought their A game, hence them getting their butts kicked. And, you know, you had a historically bad stretch in the first half. But I still would like just a modicum more of accountability. I know there's no point in you know, kicking the team while they're down. These guys all feel it right now. I get that. But at the same time, like, I'm sorry. Dallas gets some credit, but there needs to be a little bit of, you know, accountability from the Warriors' end as well, more than I'm hearing from Kerr or Steph. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you give Dallas credit. They played a great game, but the defensive effort was atrocious. And I'll be honest with you, as bad as the defense was, to me that's the easier part to fix. And for the most part, the Warriors have been a good defensive team. And mm-hmm. and to me that's just effort. Like, to me it was effort level. It was like, so that's, and that may be the most disappointing thing, and I totally understand if that's where you're coming from on that, and a lot of people are probably saying the same way. I'm more bothered by the look of being so unprepared offensively for what Dallas did. Like, that to me is the part that just sticks in my, and they were both bad. They were both right. bad, but just, but for me, it's the more like you didn't prep. Like, it just feels like you weren't buttoned up. You didn't, it's like, we're doing a show together tonight. And it's like, you know, just, there was just too much going on. Didn't bother reading any articles today. Didn't bother checking Twitter. Didn't bother, you know, listening to, you know, a piece of audio. Like that to me is galling. And I feel like offensively, that's where the Warriors were tonight. So I just, and then Steve Kerr coming out, and of course he's going to be accountable, but just saying, you know, I didn't get him ready to play. Well, why not, Steve? Like that, you know, and then it gets kind of taken to that next extent of, well, we haven't practiced in a week and it had been working, so we just kind of kept with it. It's the biggest game of the year, but, you know, we kept it rolling because it'd been working, and then you look like a team that hadn't practiced in a week. And again, you know, I wasn't questioning it ahead of time, but I do think it needs to be pointed out, because I do think this is what fans are going to want to talk about, and we're going to be talking about over the next couple of days. Like, why weren't they prepared tonight? Why? This was a playoff game.
Yeah, no, and we were all excited on the pregame, right? And we're thinking, oh, man, you got an opportunity based on the way you've played the last couple of weeks, the stretch of games that you put together, even with a couple of tough losses. I mean, you know, the Warriors could have come in here winning, you know, 10 of their last 11, could have damn near been on an 11-game winning streak. I mean, they've been playing some great basketball. And I
Shout
think
out
maybe
Jim
JD,
Barnett.
Yeah, no doubt. and, you know, maybe that's kind of why Steph and you know, Coach Kerr aren't going – you know, full, oh my God, we got embarrassed tonight, because it was a rough night at the office. And really, it was a rough couple of minutes in the first quarter, and this game was a wrap. Like, there was no coming back from that. And yeah, the third quarter sucked too. Second quarter wasn't any picnic either, but it was that stretch in the first quarter that killed him. And so, you know, I guess there's also the inclination to have a bigger picture perspective. And yeah, the sixth seed's a wrap now. Okay, fine. That was probably a tall ask anyway. But the reality is, I don't think you want to throw too much poo-poo on what the team's been doing lately, because by and large they've been playing their best basketball of the season. It just sucks that they had a clunker, you know, waiting on a night where it was the biggest and most important game of the year. And like I said, you can make a case the biggest important game in Chase Center history. So that's where it's frustrating, but at the same time, you got to kind of take that macro view and say, team's been playing well, still got a lot to play for, just go out and take it out on the Timberwolves a couple of nights from now.
Yeah, and there's 10 games to go. The Warriors are 31-31, and with the schedule ahead, I think the one thing that this team has consistently showed us here is it's not going to, in all likelihood, it's not going to be a 9-1 or an 8-2, or like I know we're all kind of,
you know,
waiting
6-4.
For that. Well, it's going to be 7-3, you know, or it's going to be 6-4. It's going to be something like that. Like, it's not going to be, and 7-3 will be good. I mean, you look at it, they're with the loss tonight, 7-3 in their last 10. If you do that over the next 10, you're going to wind up 38-34. You're going to wind up at that point, you know, in the play-in tournament, maybe 8th at that point. I mean, to me, that's a nice, reasonable finish to this season. Go, like, I just, for me, I feel like tonight, either tonight and the games like tonight, or the games where they've let games slip away, like, there's going to be at least one more game where they get destroyed, and there's probably going to be at least one more, maybe two, where they let it slip away. And it just,
yeah,
like, because
right.
that's just what they've been all year. Now, they may win every other game at that point, and it winds up being 7-3. But that's just, like, I'm kind of done as of tonight with the thinking that this team is going to go on the big run. Like, that's over. Their big run was these last 10 when they went 7-3. And maybe they can do it again.
Right. No, I think you're right, JD. And what's funny is, you know, they'll probably mess around and, like, beat Phoenix, but they'll drop like 2 out of 3 to the Pelicans for no apparent reason. Because why the hell not? Because that's who the 2020-2021 Golden State Warriors are. But regardless, be in a cantankerous mood, be better offensively, moving the rock and you know, getting back into your flow offensively, and certainly bring a better effort defensively from the opening tip, and certainly don't take Minnesota lightly. Don't let the putrid record fool you. Minnesota's been playing a lot better basketball lately, and they're going to pose a stiff challenge. And if you go into Minnesota with this kind of effort a couple of nights from now, you're going to get smoked again, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Minnesota's won 3 in a row, and 2 of them are against Utah. They've won 4 out of 5. They've won 5 out of 7. They've got, you know, wins against Miami, the Kings, a couple of Utahs, and Houston. So a mixed bag of wins, but they've beaten Utah twice.
Right,
this
that's
season.
It. Like, that's so, the mic drop. Yeah,
like that. Like they're having, you know, they're playing much better basketball recently, and really much better basketball since they fired Ryan Saunders and had Chris Finch come over from Toronto and take the helm. So we'll talk about that more on Thursday. Great stuff tonight, Covey. Back at it tomorrow. Final word, 7 o'clock here. We'll be talking some Dubs. We'll be talking some 49ers draft. I hear that the draft is also coming up on Thursday. Is that still happening?
I read a right? tweet, man, something about that. And I know you and I actually, so after the Dubs game Thursday night, don't worry. We got the post-game show, and then you and I are going to do extensive draft coverage as well as we react to the 49ers taking Mac Jones, maybe? Yikes.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. So, yeah, that'll be coming up on Thursday. Tomorrow, 7 to 10, and then Thursday, 3:30 for Warriors Live. And then, yeah, well, the Warriors and the Timberwolves at 5 on Thursday, and then we're going to have Warriors wrap up after the ball game. You know, probably around 7:45 to about 8:30 or so, and then we're going to be going, you know, on into the night from there all the way until 11, talking some football as well. So good stuff tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Covey.
Sounds good, partner. We'll do it then.
All right, for Ryan Covey, I'm John Dickinson. Thanks to Sterling. Thanks to Bobby Spang. Thanks to Ryan Mauser. Tough night for the Warriors, but 10 games to go. This team still with an opportunity to make this a really good finish to the season. Mavs get the better of the Dubs tonight. They win at 133-103, and you heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.